I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Earlier this week, New York Attorney General Letitia James said her office will be investigating former President Trump's business dealings in a criminal capacity. James was already doing a civil investigation, but the criminal probe means the AG's office will work alongside the Manhattan District Attorney to investigate possible fraud committed by the Trump Organization. For more on this and to explain what it all could mean for the former president is my colleague Andrea Bernstein, co-host of WNYC's Trump Inc. and author of American Oligarchs, The Kushners, The Trumps, and the Marriage of Money and Power. Andrea, welcome back to The Takeaway.
So great to talk to you, Matt.
So, Andrea, before we get started, can you give us a little insight into the background of this investigation? Remind us how we got here.
Yeah, so there are these two investigations that have been going on in New York since basically 2018. 2018 was when Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former personal attorney, pleaded guilty in federal court to paying hush money payments to two women who alleged that they'd had affairs with Donald Trump before he was president. And that guilty plea and subsequent testimony that he gave to Congress launched several investigations into whether there was possible bank fraud, tax fraud, insurance fraud by Trump, by his associates, or the Trump Organization. So initially, after it became clear that federal prosecutors were not going to indict the president, the Manhattan DA, sometime after Michael Cohen's testimony in 2018, began digging into his business records. So if, in fact, Donald Trump was aware that his company was paying Michael Cohen what they called a retainer for what was actually hush money, that could be a felony in New York. So they began looking at that, and as they began unraveling, they began to suspect that there might be some kind of insurance fraud or tax fraud, because Trump, it appeared, was giving different numbers to various authorities and regulators depending on what would be in his financial interest. So, for example, when he had to pay taxes, he would downplay the value and the income on certain properties. But when he wanted a bank loan, he would say things are going like gangbusters for a particular building or property, so therefore he should get a nice, healthy loan. Well, you can't do that if you're doing that intentionally. That could be a crime. So that's what the district attorney in Manhattan, Cyrus Vance Jr., began to look at. Separately, the New York Attorney General began looking at these claims of whether Donald Trump underpaid his New York taxes, which would be a civil case. So if the Attorney General could prove that there was evidence that Donald Trump had intentionally done this kind of evaluation scheme, there could have been a requirement by a judge that Trump or his business pay back the taxes that they underpaid. So that would be a civil case. And that was going along. While the Attorney General was working on this case, as we now know, she developed evidence that a crime was committed regarding this. We don't know what crime. There's been a suggestion that she's using a tool that is available in New York called the Martin Act, which allows attorneys general in New York to broadly investigate businesses for potential crimes. We obviously don't know the details, but what we do know and what we did learn this week is that her office has detailed two assistant attorneys general to work with the Manhattan DA, and it has become sort of one more unified, broader, and potentially more serious criminal investigation for Trump, his business, and his associates.
Is that unusual that these two different law enforcement agencies would be working together?
Yeah, it's pretty unusual. I mean, you know, in public, the New York Attorney General and the Manhattan DA sort of always suggest, and this is going back through the ages, it's not these particular individuals, suggest, oh yes, we're working together. But when you probe them privately, you detect rivalry, different offices want different credits. The Attorney General is an elected statewide office. If you look at where previous Attorneys General of New York have gone, many of them have gone to the governor's office. For example, our current governor, Andrew Cuomo, was attorney general before he was governor. So that is a sort of highly politicized office, and there's a lot of sensitivities about who gets credit for what. But in this case, even though they're very different jurisdictions, the whole state of New York versus the county of Manhattan, which is obviously a much smaller unit, are both looking at the same case and working together. And that is something that we really have not seen a lot of over the years. Now, I should say that this case is like nothing that anybody can ever remember in New York. It's incredibly complicated. Cyrus Vance tried for 2 years, eventually successfully. He had to go to the Supreme Court twice to get Donald Trump's tax returns and related tax records. There's a lot to go through there. So there's a lot of documents to go through. And then these are complicated criminal cases. So there is a chain of evidence that has to be understood, maintained, intent has to be proved. There are many, many hurdles. So what a number of people who have worked in these offices have said to us is that this is a force multiplier. This will allow pooling their knowledge and for a more careful examination of the evidence and whether it supports criminal charges.
And is there also a civil investigation still going on as well? Are these two things happening concurrently, the civil and criminal cases?
Yes, that's correct. So the civil case would be, the remedy in the civil case would be pay New York money if Donald Trump misrepresented what he owed in New York taxes. A criminal case carries with it potential jail time, prison time. Now, we know from the... because Donald Trump sued Cy Vance, the DA, to try to keep him from getting the tax records, we know a lot about the case. Normally, we wouldn't. Normally, it would be behind grand jury secrecy laws and other secrecy laws, and we wouldn't know anything. But we know that one of the crimes that the DA is looking at is a B felony in New York, which carries very significant prison time if it were applied to an individual. So it's a very serious and major case that they're looking at right now.
All right. So, Andrew, what has Trump's reaction been? I know I haven't seen him tweet anything because he's not allowed to tweet anything right now, but I imagine he's fuming over this.
Yes. So initially, the Trump Organization and Trump did not respond, save for a montage of video clips that Eric Trump turned over to the Washington Post, which were Letitia James basically speaking before she was elected as attorney general about the importance of holding Trump to legal account. And obviously, even before Trump was president and while he was president, this has been something that the New York attorney general has worked on. There have been two very high profile cases that the attorney general worked on. One was the Trump University case, and then one was the Trump Foundation case. And in both cases, the Trump Organization was required to pay money to New York State. So when she was running for office, she expressed her commitment to pursuing these kinds of cases. And the Trump family has used this to express that this is an illegitimate investigation. After this news came out, Trump did post a statement on his website, and it said, quote, "If you can run for a prosecutor's office pledging to take out your enemies and be elected to that job by partisan voters who wish to enact political retribution, then we are no longer a free constitutional democracy." And of course, Trump himself has been accused of, when he was president, trying to use the Justice Department to enact political retribution.
What's next in the case then? What should we be looking out for in the next several weeks or on this matter?
Several weeks? Unclear. I mean, we know, we can tell that they're still gathering evidence. They're still speaking to witnesses. There is continued pressure on the chief operating officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg. You know, he's denied any wrongdoing, but there has been a very close look at his finances and the finances of Weisselberg's family. And a number of people that I've spoken to who used to work in the Manhattan DA's office have said that they expect that putting pressure on Weisselberg would be the standard way to go when you're trying to put together a case against Trump. Because, of course, in these criminal cases, you have to improve. You have to prove that there was intent. You have to prove that these right. valuation differences were done deliberately. And because Trump doesn't use email, the easiest way to do that is through witness testimony about what Trump understood if there's not written documentation. So we know they're looking for that. At some point, there could be an indictment. Now, there's some clocks running out. And again, we know this from the DA himself, because when he was arguing his case, he said the statutes of limitation are going to run out. So they begin to run out soon. And after all, Trump was elected in 2016, and we're coming up on the fifth anniversary of that. So mm-hmm. there's a pressure from statutes of limitations, and also the district attorney in Manhattan, who has now made this case a major priority, is leaving office at the end of the year. He's not running for re-election. So sometime in the next calendar year, there could be criminal charges against Trump, his family, his associates, or his business. Again, they've denied wrongdoing, but we don't know that clock, and we won't know until it happens.
And you'll likely keep us updated as it happens. Andrea Bernstein is the co-host of WNYC's Trump Inc. and author of American Oligarchs, The Kushners, The Trumps, and The Marriage of Money and Power. Andrea, thanks so much.
So great to talk to you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.